Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But, you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. San Juan Regional Medical Center is your community hospital, committed to making life better for the communities we are privileged to serve. In fact, better is our mission, improving lives through personalized health and care. What matters most to our patients matters most to us, offering a comprehensive range of inpatient, outpatient, and emergency care services so you can get the quality care you need right here at home. San Juan Regional Medical Center, celebrating life better here since 1910.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Megan Cullop, along here with Scott Micklin.
Good morning, Megan Cullop.
Hey.
Happy Friday to you.
Happy Friday, and look at your jacket.
Look at this jacket, right? It's Christmas almost.
It is.
This is our last show before Christmas, too, by the way.
Can you believe that?
I cannot believe that. So
it's almost the new
year. I thought
year.
I would dress up a little bit.
Yeah, I like it. I did not.
Apparently not.
So
yeah, you didn't get the memo, and it's okay. But I'm glad that you're here because we missed you last week.
Yes,
you were out
doing last week.
You were doing Leadership San Juan last week because you are in the class of 2023.
That's right.
And you're learning all there is to know about San Juan County.
We get in the weeds.
I know.
It's a lot of detail.
Right. But it's really cool, isn't it? I mean,
it is cool.
From my remembrances when I was in the class, you learn really a lot, and it's a lot of big picture stuff.
Yes.
And I like that.
Yes. So last week was business day. So we had a lot of business leaders.
Ooh, you got all up in their business.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Exactly.
Good for you.
That's my plan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So you learned a lot.
Yes, we learned a lot.
Good. Well, good. Well, we're glad that you're back because we miss you when you're not here.
I know.
But, you know, Scott Duran does a pretty good job.
I'm a little worried.
You know?
I'm a little worried he's going to take the job.
No. Well, you know.
Because he brings it.
He's a solid guest host.
He's a solid guest host.
He definitely is a solid guest host. But anyway, but today we are talking about our Solutions from the Street program.
Yes, we are.
This is our solutions-based kind of journalism program when we talk about a problem in the community and present the solution to that problem. And most of the times it's kind of a non-governmental solution, although this week we're kind of blurring the line a little bit because we do have a guest from government.
It's like a mingling between grassroots and government together.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. So since you are involved with this solution, I would like you to kind of take over and talk a little bit about the problem and the solution.
Sure. So the problem is people who pass away that might not have many people around them or the funds to take care of a burial.
Right.
So. Okay. It's people who might be in isolation, might be in poverty, and need somebody to acknowledge and recognize their life.
Gotcha.
So,
or many times they're just, I guess, from what I have learned from being involved with this, is that there's just nobody, no family willing to claim them, no family willing to work with them, or they're just estranged maybe from their family. These are the individuals that we're talking about, or maybe they don't have any family anymore.
Right.
And that's the situation.
Right.
And when we find, unfortunately, there's a number of people that find themselves in that situation every year who pass away.
Yes.
And so, in steps, Megan Cullop.
In steps, yeah, well, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
The scene is Farmington, New Mexico, 4 years ago.
Four years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this was based somewhat on the Homeless Persons Memorial Day, which is celebrated on the longest night of the year, which is usually December 21st or somewhere around that. It's the
winter
solstice.
Because it's the shortest day of the year, so it's the longest night. That makes sense.
Right.
Never thought of it that way.
Yeah, yeah. And so every year across the country, and it's usually bigger cities, and they'll have, you know, hundreds or thousands of names.
Right.
They do a little service for these individuals and usually involves reading of names, not always. Mm-hmm. Usually involves candle lighting, not always, right? So,
but some type of pause of our everyday lives to remember these souls, these people who existed and have now passed without really much other recognition or any type of remembrance.
Right. So I sort of took that. I grew up in San Antonio, so I used to go to the one they had one there every year at this big park that people used to gather in, and so I took that idea and kind of translated it and focused more on people who are unclaimed. So not everybody on this list is necessarily homeless, right?
That's right.
Not everybody on the list, but they might be. And but sort of just taking that idea and extending it to include the unclaimed. So there's you get a little bit of both of those themes in it.
Right.
And I, you know, used to, I've been a minister before in a congregation. And so memorial services are part of what you do. And so I was used to putting on a memorial service. So I thought, let's acknowledge these individuals, give them a collective memorial service, and just honor a life that maybe went unhonored.
Yeah. So here we are.
So here we are,
and
4 years later.
And it's happening again next week.
Yes.
The 21st. And it's going to be 7 p.m. downtown Artifacts Gallery. That's a new location.
Yes,
Where it has been. And, of course, we're back able to gather in person because I think it was kind of a virtual ceremony.
For two years. We did a video.
Yeah.
Which was nice, but who knows how many people were able to see that or whatever. And it's just there's something special about presence, in-person presence, and being together and gathering.
Right. So it is the fourth annual Memorial for the Unclaimed. And it's Wednesday, December 21st, 7 p.m. at Artifacts Gallery, downtown Farmington, of course. Music, poetry, and the reading of names.
That's right.
I can read off of the screen.
Yeah.
From the poster. There
well, that's
it is.
Good.
But radio audience.
Radio audience.
And thank you to the Basin Good Neighbor Foundation and Basin Health Companies. They are the main sponsors of this event.
That's right.
So there you go. And our guest, we should probably introduce her.
Yeah, she's been waiting patiently.
She has been waiting patiently. Like, why don't I rush to get here when they're just talking to each other? But you couldn't do without our guest because she is an integral part of the planning and some of the other assistance that is given to these individuals, and that's Lisa Gomez from San Juan County. And Lisa, welcome to KSJE. Welcome back to KSJE. Good to have you here.
Thank you. It's good to be here, and what a great reason to have a show today. And it's one of my favorite events every year. And thank you, Megan, for bringing it to our community. And it's very touching. I don't know if anybody wants to come and just experience it, you should. It is very touching.
It is. I think that's a great way to describe it, too, because I think a lot of folks maybe aren't quite sure what to expect when they come to a service such as this, but it really is kind of poignant, and I think, you know, it's not very long. I think if it's an hour, it's not an hour.
Usually isn't. I mean, it's like maybe 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, but it's a nice, again, like you said, a pause. Or maybe I said it, a pause to remember these folks who maybe have gone unremembered.
Right.
And so that's important. And Lisa, maybe you can help fill the blanks in a little bit about the job that you do and how that assists Megan, I guess, in kind of identifying these individuals who need to be part of this service.
For sure.
That's part of your job with the county.
It is a small part of my job. It used to be a much smaller part of my job. In recent years and COVID, we've seen more claims. So the state of New Mexico requires all counties in New Mexico to provide for the final disposition of a person, a dead person that's indigent or unclaimed. We usually get our referrals or our assignments from the Office of the Medical Investigator or the funeral home if, you know, or the morgue. So if someone passes away in the hospital, they can't locate a next of kin or there is no next of kin, they're, you know, without being too gruesome, they might be waiting for a while to find their next of kin. So after a certain amount of time passes, the law outlines what those parameters are. They'll reach out to the county and say, we've got a person here who needs to be taken care of. So we'll process the paperwork, and we work with the funeral homes in San Juan County, Serenity and Company, and Farmington Funeral Home. And they are so gracious because we're not able to pay a whole lot by statute, but they work with us really well, and they're very respectful, and provide for very dignified way to get them taken care of.
Gotcha. And then those names go on your a list, I suppose, right? Which then is shared with Megan so they can be remembered at this type of an event.
Yeah. So over the course of the year, we keep a list. So we gather all those names and we'll send it to Megan, and I get to be a part of the ceremony and helping to read the names, and it's wonderful to go back and sort of look that up. And I'll tell you, before this started, Megan, we didn't do anything like that. And that's just such a wonderful idea. I didn't even think of that. From time to time, I'd get invited by a funeral home to say, oh, we're getting ready to inter this this person's ashes. Do you want to come? And so I would go, but it wasn't a ceremony. It was very, pause for some thoughts and let's get them interred. So right. What a wonderful way to, dignify and honor and remember these people. It's just, it's very special to me.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. And I think it's great. So thank you for bringing it to the community. And this is the fourth year, of course, that the community is gathering together to do this under your leadership. And Lisa, you mentioned that you didn't want to get too gruesome, but I don't think it's gruesome that the state is taking an effort to try to track down loved ones, family members from these people who may have moved multiple times in their life and maybe have lost contact with their immediate family, and there's still some effort when this person passes to try to track down a next of kin or somebody that could maybe at least would maybe want to know that their loved one has passed on?
There is. The Office of the Medical Investigator subscribes to a database that helps find people. It's not like on the internet, you just don't go do a little Google search. It's a more in-depth search that searches birth certificates and different things like that. So there are times when we find out, so the funeral homes will post a little announcement in the newspaper. Through the newspaper posting, they'll go, oh, that's my uncle so-and-so, or I know the family, and they lost track of this person. And so from time to time, even though all of these searches and different ways to investigate someone's family takes place and they can't find one, sometimes a newspaper announcement can help bring someone forward.
Sure. So right,
that's nice.
But if they can't, then but I get that then still comes to you and your
it
office.
It still comes to me. We have a very secure, dignified place to store people. We don't just take the cremated remains and bury them or do something terrible. They're all intact in case anybody wants to come forward and claim their loved one.
That they didn't find during that period, I guess,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So there's a certain amount of time that you then, I guess, hang on to these things or store these things, or at least have a record of where they are, I guess?
Yeah, the state requires us to retain them for 2 years.
Okay.
And keep the record of if anybody picks them up or claims them for 5 years. But honestly, I've never had to deal with that we're out of storage. And so I have folks since I started 25 years ago, I still have everybody. I'm not going to do anything until we have a good solution honor, and I don't know, a columbarium or some way to keep them intact so we can identify them. And
right.
But no, they're all in my storage right now.
Got you. But to be clear, they have been identified.
Yes.
They're identified, but maybe their next of kin hasn't been identified, or the
or there is none.
Or there is none, or there might be someone, but they just haven't gotten the word yet, or what have you, I suppose.
There is one or two in our storage that aren't identified. So we keep all the records that the funeral home gives us and the Office of the Medical Investigator gives us. But that's very rare to have a Jane Doe or John Doe
right.
situation.
I see. Gotcha. Thank you very much. And thank you for being here, because it's a really important part of this whole ceremony and service. And Megan, let me bring you back into the conversation to talk a bit about what you have planned for this year, the fourth annual.
Yeah. So there's a couple of similar elements in the years past in that we always have a reading of the names. We always have a candle lighting because there's something poignant about that, especially on the longest night of the year. There's just something really poetic about that. We always have a reading of poetry, and we always have I do a very short message, kind of pertaining to why we're gathered. And then there's a lot of music. So the music part is the part that I get most excited about, besides the reading of the names. But the music is, you know, it's the language of the soul. And so it's always really good. We have community musicians that donate their time. And a lot of these people that donate their time are people that have every right to charge for their time. So they're professional musicians.
Sure, right.
Coming out and giving their own talents and time for free to honor people and do this event. And so we have, and it's a diverse group of musicians this year. And so, so that's
nice.
Those are the components, yeah.
Okay. Do you want to drop any names?
Sure.
Of musicians we might know? Put you on the spot.
I don't know if you'll know everybody, but Noah Manns is doing a electric guitar arrangement of Amazing Grace. It's just this really incredible arrangement. It's very technically difficult, too. And Amber Swink and Robin Woodard, classics.
I know.
They're okay. All around.
I'm three for three. Keep going.
Yeah, they're playing. And James Golden, who is he's the choir director at PV, and he's also the music director at First Pres. And Jennifer Johnson, who is one of the two ladies that run San Juan United Way, who's got a beautiful voice, and so she's joining. And there's also a little bit of intentionality in getting people who do community service outside of this event, too.
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay.
So,
quite the variety.
Right,
and
yeah.
Quite the lineup.
I know.
And quite the talent, I would say, too, of these individuals that you mentioned. So, great. Very good. And so this is open to the public.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, anybody.
And at Artifacts. And about what's the capacity there? I mean, I guess.
Oh, Artifacts has a huge capacity.
Okay.
There's enough for 250 people.
Oh, there you
go. And I hope that's how many people come.
Right?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah, it would be cool.
That'd be great. And Lisa, I know you're working on the names. Do you have any rough idea just about the number of names this year?
I think 15.
About 15?
Yes.
Okay.
Which is a lot. That's the highest we've had in 4 years.
I think so.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Our average, you know, a few years ago was 4 or 5 a year. So, yeah, I'll have that to you this morning.
Okay. Right. As we get closer. But there you go. And so talk to me a little bit more about the reasoning behind putting this together each and every year and the fact that this year we can get back together in person to kind of do this in group, like all together.
Yeah. Well, so there's a loneliness epidemic. You've probably heard about this, that now loneliness is considered a public health issue. And it's something that I've always been very sensitive to. I've always been sensitive to, you know, people sitting alone, people having a holiday alone. It's just kind of been something that I've always been very keenly aware of. And there is a loneliness epidemic. And how do these people end up without somebody to say, hey, like, I know them, let me take them under my care? How does that even happen? And so part of it is just recognizing our calling to love our neighbor, that we have a collective responsibility to love our neighbor and be present for one another and bear witness. And when I talk about bearing witness, I just mean being present for somebody else's story and somebody else's life. And we just, you know, sometimes we don't do that because it's just easier not to. I mean, that really comes down to it's easier to just, like, look away sometimes. I'm just very passionate about that. And I work with a lot of, you know, folks who in hospice, that's my other job.
Yes.
There's quite a number of people who just don't have caregiving, and they're dying, and there's just nobody around, and that's heart-wrenching. And work with people on the streets with street medicine, and you understand that, you know, poverty, it's not your fault that you're poor, so, you know, why shouldn't you get a proper burial, a proper, not, this isn't a burial, but a proper memorial for you. Yeah.
Exactly. And that is important, I think, too. Yeah. And coming out of COVID, I think it's even more poignant that we're talking a little bit about this, and that I think a lot of folks felt very isolated during COVID, especially during the lockdowns, the first few weeks of COVID, for sure. But even coming out, I'm not sure if everyone is comfortable going into going out and being around strangers or in large groups and things along that line. And so I think there was a lot of that loneliness, or working from home and going to school from home and just being at home and not leaving your home and all, you know, getting takeout and, you know, ordering in, all these things that kind of kept us a lot more compartmentalized than it did before.
Yeah, I think so. I think that in that experience, the term isolation all of a sudden meant a lot more, and people were able to, everybody was able to say, oh, now I know what that feels like.
Right.
So, yeah.
Exactly. Lisa Gomez, are you finding that too with your work with San Juan County? Because I know you do a lot more than just this, of course, but maybe some of the other things that you do, is that something that you're noticing too coming out of COVID-19?
Well, for sure. So, you know, when COVID started, and like that, the summer of that first year, there was a lot of talk about the increase for mental health practitioners and the increase for services for, you know, isolation leading to depression, leading to suicides and other difficult situations, leading to substance use disorders. So high mental health needs as a result of COVID. So that's part of what we do down at the Mental Wellness Resource Center, is connecting folks to mental health services, resources, substance use resources. And we still see that a lot. We still see a lot of street inebriates. We still see lots of homeless, chronically homeless people, not able to get the services they need. Transportation is a barrier, insurance is a barrier, language sometimes is a barrier. Mental health, huge need as a result of COVID.
Right. And a shout out to the county for coming up with that Mental Wellness Resource Center that opened, I think, during COVID, and is seeing a lot of referrals. I think the numbers keep going up and up, I think, as folks find out about it and learn about it.
Yes. So the county commission, it started back in 2017, 2018. It became a priority, created a behavioral health department, hired a behavioral health director. That department fell under the community health social services. So it was brilliant. The county didn't have to do that, but they felt it was very responsible to try and address the mental health, behavioral health needs of the community. So MWRC opened November 2020. So that was towards the end of that first year of COVID. That first year, I believe we had 615 encounters. And the next year, we had something like 6,000 encounters.
Wow.
Yes. And just over the last 6 months, I just did some number crunching for another project. We've seen 137% increase of encounters of June to November this year.
Okay.
Over the previous 6 months. So it's still growing.
Yeah.
Still growing.
Wow.
Interesting. And I guess the need is there, obviously, in the community.
Yes, it is.
And
it
so
is.
We're glad that the county had the foresight to, and the commission to support this idea and get it established.
Really, and thanks to all the community agencies and partners, as we're a referral connection agency, we don't provide mental health services. So the local community agencies and mental health partners, where, you know, we just can call them up or email and get people connected. They're really very responsive and helpful.
Right. And before we move on from this topic, I do want to just share. People might be saying, well, where is it? How do I, you know, what if I need to access this? How can I get there? Can you share some of the information? I don't want to put you on the spot.
No.
But phone number, or we know the location too, we can share, of course.
Yes. So the easiest way to think is corner of Maple and Lake. So you could just go, visualize it.
Which is near the hospital.
Yes.
If you're not sure where that is, in Farmington.
Yes. Right across from the ER entrance, 814 West Maple in Farmington. And we're right there in the middle of where most of the folks that need us are walking around and accessing other services. So 636-7110, 505-636-7110 is the office phone number. So come see us.
Okay. And as you mentioned, you've got a lot that the people that work there have a lot of referral resources at their fingertips to be able to help these individuals that are reaching out.
They are actually experts for the San Juan County community. They've created relationships with the partners, the mental health partners, the social services partners, ECHO, Salvation Army, all the places where folks need rental assistance, food box, places to live. You know, those are the basic services beyond the mental health and behavioral health. So, yeah, our staff are very uniquely qualified. They're experts in resources in
Great.
The community.
We're glad that we have that here. So
yes.
Very important. So thank you. Thank you very much. Megan Cullop, we're almost out of time. So let's plug the Memorial for the Unclaimed again coming up next week.
Yeah. You won't regret coming. It's a one way, you can even think of it as an act of service if you want.
Yes.
You can think of it as a time of meditation and a pause and just, and also just think of it as a time to reflect upon our collective humanity and our responsibility to care for one another.
Right.
So,
I mean, when you think about the whole idea behind this, a person who has passed without anyone, you know, thinking anyone in their family, maybe anyone, any friends, any other acquaintances, just without any type of other person.
Right.
I don't want to say not caring, but at least not caring enough to help them have a dignified burial or dignified service or something, just kind of as their life comes to an end. Just a person whose life has come to an end without any type of recognition, I guess, is what we're talking about. And this is a way to kind of at least give them something.
That's right.
And that's the idea.
That's right. Yeah.
So.
And it's not long. So.
No.
It's got, like I said, it's got a ton of music. So it's not a bunch of talking. So if you're a person that's like, I don't want to go and be talked at, you won't be.
Right.
It'll be a lot of more activity.
That's what this show is for.
Yeah. This show was all the talking.
Yes. Right.
The memorial's not a lot of talking.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
But there you go. But I think it's great. I'm always so proud of our community when I look out and see the people who show up at these events, right, that just take the time to come and think about these people they've never met, they don't know who they are, but they want to at least spend a moment to remember these souls, these people, as they move on to their next whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Without getting too esoteric.
Yes.
Yeah. But whatever you believe.
You know. The sweet hereafter. That's what I call it.
Whatever you believe. You know, I think, again, this was a person's life who we wanted to take a moment to dignify and remember.
Right.
And that's how we do it.
That's right.
So thank you for bringing that to
us.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So, Lisa, thank you for coming in and sharing the work that you do, which is certainly a lot more than just this, but it's certainly an important part of this. And I know Megan couldn't do without you.
Well, yeah, I couldn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So, thank you, Megan. This
thank you.
It's so awesome. Yeah. I appreciate the time today. And come out and join us. It'll touch your heart.
It really will. Mm-hmm. It definitely will. It's next Wednesday again. That's the 21st, the winter solstice, the shortest day, which is also the longest night. And we'll be gathering at 7 p.m. I'll be part of this as well. So thank you for including me again this year. At Artifacts Gallery, 302 East Main Street in Farmington. Again, 7 p.m. Next Wednesday.
Excellent.
So there you go. Yeah. And before we go,
okay,
a couple more things.
We
got a couple more things to talk about. What do we got?
What do we got?
We got stuff to talk about, right? If folks would have an idea for a solution to another problem that maybe we haven't thought of in the community, how can they let us know about it?
Yeah, please do let us know. Go to ksje@sanjuancollege.edu. Drop us a line. Tell us the solution maker that you see out there, and we'll cover it.
Send us an email. That's an email address.
Yes.
So.
Yes, it is an email address. Good job, Scott.
Well, I'm just saying.
That is an email address.
There you go. And then, look, tomorrow.
Look at this.
There's a show tomorrow.
There is.
That you're involved with.
This is my music show. This is Radio Free Saturday Morning, 9 to 11 a.m. Mountain Time. on 90.9 FM, that's our station, or streaming online, or if you're heading up to Durango for the day,
yeah.
103.3 FM Durango as well.
There you go.
And the theme, each week I do a different theme, and this week's theme is guest hosts. So I have a guest host.
Okay.
So we each picked some of our favorite songs, and we share about why they matter to us, and also we share about the story behind them. So,
oh, interesting.
Yeah.
What types of songs did your guest host choose?
It's eclectic, just like my just like my mix was. Yeah,
okay.
Which is kind of how we roll on Radio Free Saturday morning. So.
I got that. So a little bit of a mix.
Mm-hmm.
So okay, that's tomorrow, everybody. So there you go. Alrighty. Well, I think that brings us to an end of our program today.
Yes.
But thank you for coming in. Like I said, we miss you when you're not here.
I know.
I know. Just saying.
Yeah.
But it's always good to see you.
Good to see you, too, especially in those jackets.
Right? Exactly. Thank you for noticing. Let me put another plug, if we have a few more minutes here, because there's a couple of things that we have done that you may have missed, Megan Cullip, because you've been so busy. And that's okay. But let me look for what I'm trying to find here. This would be the thing. I want to remind everybody about our KSJE On the Road broadcast that we have done recently. They are on our social media platforms. You can check them out on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. We've been at several local, you were at some of them too.
Of course.
Holiday events like the Luminaria display.
That was fun.
Right. And so you can check those out. They're not radio programs because they're visual. And so you've got to kind of watch them on anything with a screen. But definitely we've been to the Luminaria event here at San Juan College, the Christmas parade is recorded and saved. So if you had someone in the Christmas parade, you can watch for their entry and see them in the middle of Main Street. Festival Trees, we were there as well. And so we've had a lot of great local events this month just to be out at, but we've had a lot more as well. So, and there'll be more to come in 2023. So we just want to plug that really quick before we go. And then our KSJE Extra this week, you missed this too.
I'm so sad I missed this one.
I know, right? I got a chance to talk. This was last Saturday.
Yeah.
They texted me at like 7 in the morning and said, hey, we have some time if you want to come talk to us. We're 7 hours ahead of you, so... And this was the guys from Team Guardian.
Yes.
Guardian Initiatives. They were in the Canary Islands before they set off on their 3,000-mile row on Monday. And so we got a chance to talk to the guys on the boat, if you can see the picture, in the Canary Islands as they got ready to head out. So we were excited about that.
Yes. So I saw them launch. And yeah, I was like, I would get winded just pulling out of the marina.
Right.
I was just winded watching him.
Yeah. So. I know. It's crazy.
Let alone across the Atlantic.
So we were excited to be able to talk to them before they set off on their big trip. So just wanted to point that out to everybody. So with that being said, we are really now out of time, so we have to go. But we will see you hopefully Wednesday at the Memorial for the Unclaimed on December 21st at Artifacts Gallery. Thanks for watching, everyone. Merry Christmas. We'll see you next year. Bye-bye.
KSJE is supported by the Farmington Civic Center, bringing a full slate of entertainment to Farmington and San Juan County. The holiday favorite, A Christmas Carol, Friday, December 23rd at 7:30 p.m. The Farmington Civic Center, 200 West Arrington in downtown Farmington. Find out more online at fmtn.org/shows or at 505-599-1148. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.